Hello and welcome to Swords and Monsters, the remastered version. I'm George Lucas.
And I'm George Lucas.
And we, together over the last 3 days, have made a remastered CGI-only version of Swords and Monsters.
We unfortunately didn't fully think about the implications of it being an audio podcast, so we spent 3 days working on CGI, and then we can't use any of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we ended up just putting the audio through an AI to enhance the sound, and if it's a little weird, that would be it.
Yeah, suck it.
It has made Rory a sweet young teenage
boy.
Boy.
Like a little Danish
a 12-year-old boy. More
like a Danish 15-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Sweet and blonde.
Sweet, blonde.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
It's me, Rory.
So basically what we've done, we've added some music, we've added all sorts of fun stuff. We cut a lot of like just trash.
Look.
Lot of arms.
It just boils down to it doesn't fit the quality we want it to be. I mean, it's 3 years old and it's the first thing we did, and like we've gotten better and improved in many things.
Yeah.
So we've just kind of...
This is more likely what you're going to hear later on in the seasons.
Yeah.
It does... Rory gets better at editing much quicker on, but we will probably do the first 3 episodes. We'll remaster.
Yeah.
But this is the first one, so enjoy.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Swords and Monsters, a midlife crisis tale. This is my personal hell. I've been going through hell constantly already, talking to these three guys, but my name is Josie, my cam girl name is Knight Sinclair, and I'll be the dungeon mistress. I've decided that's a thing for me. I've carefully selected 3 of my friends out of the only 3 friends I have to play D&D.
I'm not your friend.
Like a weird acquaintance, and that's like as close as I'm going to get to a friend. Anyway.
I just showed up here to talk about Chinese ASMR.
Stop this. It's all propaganda anyway.
Stop it.
I have Darcy. Say hello, Darcy.
Hi. How's it going?
What's up?
Darcy works in game development and streams for League of Geeks. Now, I also have Will. Say hello, Will.
Hello, Will.
He is Bethesda's last born son. You can find him on the sad side of YouTube as Will Berger.
Born with some, you know, some problems. Yeah. But much love.
Lastly, we have my roommate, Rory. Say hello.
Hello there.
Rory is the writer of Running with Jesus, a self-help post-apocalyptic erotica.
Very limited release.
Yeah, it's all out with Amazon.
It got adapted into the newest Harry Potter stage play, if you realize.
I want everyone to introduce themselves and introduce their characters, basically. And I think we're going to start with Darcy's character. So I want your name, your class, your age, occupation within the small town that the setting is in, and what you look like.
Sure. All right.
Whenever you're ready.
Well, I am playing Gary Pumpernickel. He's a 41-year-old baker turned Tempest Cleric, not Divine Cleric. My intellect is low, so that makes sense. I messed that up.
What do you look like?
I'm a big boy. I've got like broad shoulders, but you know, I've always been I'm taller than everyone else, really. Probably about 6'5", and I've got a stunning bowl cut that, like, I think the ladies, my wife tells me I look very handsome. I mean, I could shed a couple of kilos, but I think I'm just like big bone mostly. You know, I'm strong because I've been lucky. Lug and Flower around for years.
Lug and Flower. I love that. Yeah. I love him. He's very sweet. Yeah, I'm sure your wife's handsome as well.
He's endearing.
He's very endearing. Probably the kindest out of everyone.
Well, someone's got to be kind in case everyone kills everyone forever. So.
I think we'll start with Rory. Rory, do you want a secondy start with Rory? Yeah.
Hi. I'm playing everyone's favourite little mischief maker, David. Little David, he's 45 years young. He's got grey.
Fuck, it's all coming back to me.
He's a little wizard, little necromancy. Works in the graveyard, little crypt keeper. That's it, really. He likes books. He has a pipe. Well, does magic stuff.
What does he look like?
Oh, kind of like famous film director David Lynch, but with baby blues.
There it is.
And a bowl cut like he's a fun mum from the 60s.
Are we both rocking bowl cuts together?
No, he's got more of like a page, like a page haircut.
There's only one hairdresser in town.
You essentially work for the funeral home in the town. I think Crypt Keeper is a stretch.
He writes the term, it's
like badge, like David M. Lightman, Crypt Keeper. Yeah,
it's on his business cards. He hands them out at Twitch events.
To like kids and shit, and they just cry.
Well, would you like to introduce your sweet character?
We're in life today. I've got a little character summary saved on my desktop. Let me just open this up. Okay. Good news, the page is empty. It just says Re up the very
top.
Thank
you so much for doing your homework.
But that's okay.
No, it's okay. I can wing this. My name is Moto Moto Miyamoto. I'm a pretty large child, about a 3-foot chicken that's a thief that'll steal your shit. Age,
you're
36. I might be unknown. I'm 32.
36.
My occupation, I'm not really employed, but I steal shit. Just kind of steal everybody's shit and, you know, fence it. And that's how I make my living.
You are such an agent of chaos.
Is it really how you make your living, or is it your daddy's money?
Yeah, or I just kind of, you know, mooch off my loving father.
Yes. He's the doctor of the town.
Yeah, good old Shigeru Miyamoto.
Basically, everyone's meant to be set. The story's set in a small town, and everyone's meant to be like late to early, like 40s age range, you know.
In this weird village, right?
So retirement village.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone in the weird village is 45. You were all the youngest. Your wife is 106, though. No. I think Gary's the only one that's Mary.
She's just dead in a chair.
Snow-capped mountains weave and bob in the reflection on the Great Lake Vitar. The small town of Kingsford hangs on the edge of the mountain face, reaching down to the water's surface. It's made of sandstone cottages. Shops and boathouses are separated by manicured trees, perfectly handcrafted into teardrops. An icy wind blows up the narrow and steep winding stairs of Kingsford. It takes the last of the autumn leaves with it, leaving behind a cool chill. It opens up on a wide circular courtyard, paved with large stones depicting a giant kraken with a crown on its head. Above it looms a pointed tower of the town hall, with its slated roof and plated glass windows, casting a long shadow over the square. Echoing across the mountains, the valley itself seems to resonate with three tolls of the bell tower ringing. Moto Moto, you're in your father's house.
Daddy.
And you're packing up your daddy's stuff, actually. Mm-hmm.
Without his knowledge.
Some paperwork away. Definitely without his knowledge, because as you hear in the background, the bells are ringing, and you know it's time that you're going up to your father's funeral.
Oh!
He was an old man, and there was an accident to do with leeches, as he was the town doctor, and he kind of broke all the leeches on top of him and sucked the life out of the poor man.
Wait, are you saying that a jar of leeches fell on him and drained and sucked the life out of him?
It's a fucking Final Destination death.
Look, I don't want to go into detail.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not going into detail. That could be it, could not be it, but...
I didn't see that, did I?
Shigeru.
Well, you found it.
Oh, no.
He died like he lived. A really shit doctor.
The last bit of paperwork that you're grabbing is it's a deed.
Oh, good. Thank you.
To some property.
Hell yes.
You're going to own the house that you live... Well, your childhood
Fuck
house.
Yeah. I killed him.
I want to make it clear that your father is human.
Yeah.
And that you were a chicken, mm-hmm. and you were, you know, he basically brought you up.
Yeah.
So no relation.
I think he might be adopted.
Possibly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe you don't know that.
Leave it up to the audience interpretation, you know. Was I adopted? Am I some kind of hybrid human monster?
You also forgot to mention that you have a little eye patch, which makes you very cute. You have an eye patch, you forgot to say?
I have an iPad. Oh, an eye patch. Yes.
Eye patch. Oh, yes. No, I've just put an eye patch on the storyline or the fantasy storyline.
To be fair, he forgot to mention a lot of things about him, but let's just continue.
It will be all reason within the storyline that I've created.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so you're putting a deed in your pocket. Mm. You don't have time to read it because you've got to go and walk up to the funeral.
Somber day.
Town square. Now, organized this with the funeral home, which is co-owned by David, your old friend, and an old decrepit man in his 80s called Goff that lives with David.
Mm. Oh.
Who basically fully owns
David,
the funeral home.
Owns David.
David kind of like co-owns it. Yeah, he basically owns David.
Oh.
David works for him. You would have had a conversation with David about how you'd like your father's funeral. Mm. And I want you to kind of like give me a bit of an idea of how you'd want the funeral to go down.
Sure.
And then we can find out from David.
Shigeru, he has a reputation to just like burn wounds close. So, you know, I want him to go how he lived, and we'll make a great funeral pyre and cook him. And then we'll eat him. No, we won't do that. We'll just make a funeral pyre.
It's a weird town.
And say our goodbyes. Yep. And maybe his flesh will smell like chicken as it cooks or something.
I love the narrative of like you convincing Gary that it's normal, like it's normal tradition for me to eat him. So I'm like, you're like, oh yeah, just eat it, man. It's all good. I'm like, oh, are you sure? Is this normal? I don't think it's really not.
It's a different culture, Gary. You wouldn't understand. Just do it.
Yeah, no, and we can actually,
Well, I mean, if you say so, I mean, if everyone...
Let's make it happen, because, you know, he would always serve me chicken at home, and I think it's time.
You're going to eat your father.
Yeah, you know, then he's always with me.
I don't know if the town's okay with that.
Well,
what? You don't even have a cultural advantage. You are a fucking...
The town doesn't have to eat him, I just will.
We ate the dead, and like, well, you don't...
I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken. I want to eat some human.
I feel like even he has to, convince David to do that.
This is a bit fucked. This was kind of a joke, and then you guys ran with it. So
most people would have talked you out of it. And if you went to go peck at your father's dead body, they'd pull you away. They'll think you were like crying.
I'm just like pecking like a chicken, just bobbing my head back.
Okay, like so that's what you that's the kind of vibe that you wanted to give to David for the funeral. So you head up to Town Square, and Gary's going up with his two children and his wife called Grace. You actually haven't told me what your children's names are. I've written child one and two. Yeah, so it's a girl and a boy. And one of them is in a wheelchair, and I think the boy is in a wheelchair. It's a wicker wheelchair. It's a fantasy wheelchair.
No, we'll say Gertrude and Aubergine.
Jesus Christ, those poor...
All right.
So boy is Gertrude.
Ball haircut?
Yeah, they both have haircuts exactly like mine.
That's just an abusive household. Yeah. All I'm going to say.
No, I love my children. They're a little ones. They wanted to look like daddy. So
fucking pumpkin heads.
They get a haircut just like him.
So Gary, you're walking up with Gertrude in the wheelchair and Aubergine walking alongside with you. They've both got all ball cuts with dirty blonde hair.
Oh.
Aubergine, she has a kind of a grotesque face as there's big scars across her face, like big claw marks, basically.
Well, that was from the incident.
The incident, yeah.
No, I never put a hand on her, but, you know, when the wolves came.
Okay, you're with your wife. Your wife, she's a bit thick. She's curvy. Yeah, she's curvy. She's,
Hell yes,
she's
she
got blonde, curly hair, red cheeks, and just a kind...
Queen she is.
She's got a kind face, but you're all dressed in black. As you're walking up, she's picking some violets growing between the stairway and a wall. And just,
oh, that one's pretty. That's nice. Pretty. You know, it's a very nice of you, Grace.
It is pretty, isn't it? Let me put a little one behind your ear, right, Gary?
Oh, I'll bend
there. There we go. And then she starts plaiting them, like as she's walking up into Aubergine's hair. You finally get to the town square up the top, and Moto, you're there. Gary's there with his family. You see more and more of the townsfolk coming along, and David's there with Goff, the very old man that he works for, who looks like a skeleton with fairy floss white hair. David, what have you done for the funeral? What does it look like up at the town square? How have you decorated it for the funeral?
Okay, I've got in this, there's chairs around the fountain facing it. And I've plugged the holes in the fountain so no water's coming out. I filled it with fuel and I've built a pyre there, like fantasy petrol.
Okay. Yep, fantasy petrol.
Whatever, you know, like...
Yeah.
And on the top...
Yep.
Oh, no.
Sits.
No.
Your father in a coffin.
Oh, no.
In a coffin? You,
like...
He's no, he's on like a bamboo stretcher, like a, you know.
No, he is not.
This is a funeral pyre. I wanted, Gary. What have you done? I mean, David. David.
Fuck you, Gary.
Fuck you, Gary.
I'm a little confused today, okay?
It's a tough day. Let's just get on with it.
No, I understand. Are you okay? Are you feeling okay about it all?
I'm okay. I just want to cook my dad. Not going to eat him. I just want to... This is what he wanted. And then I'll give my speech.
Burn him, like funeral. Like,
yes.
Not cook,
yeah.
Not cook.
Sorry, though. Cook. That was the wrong word there.
You're looking for cremate.
Cremate. That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, the whole town is here. Again, apart from the witch, she doesn't normally go to any events. She just lives on the outskirts of town, so she's not there. But almost everyone's here apart from Gail. Gail's gone actually to the big city to meet up with a pen pal of hers. She'd been acting a little bit lovey-dovey recently. She owns the bar. She is sister to Grace, Gary's wife. So Gail's not there. So Grace is looking after the bar.
What was the yield?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
What do you mean?
I thought Gail was going to be attractive, but now that I know that she's related to your wife, she's not.
No.
What do you mean? They're both attractive.
Unfortunately, Gary got the earlier model. Like,
oh, yes, of course.
A good one, you know?
My wife is Grace is beautiful, and she's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning and brave.
She's lovely. Heart of gold. Only heart, though.
Am I one of those people who acts like a dick when they're sad?
You can be self-serving. 100%. Basically, the whole town's there. Do you want to say a few words, Mojo Mojo, before
your
death and lighting him on fire?
So, just before we light him on fire, I step up on a little wooden box because I'm a tiny little chicken.
Yep.
And I cough. Shigeru, Dad, you were good. You were bad. Healed some people. Killed some others. Don't forget about us chicken brothers. Peace.
Oh, you made it rhyme at the end.
That was beautiful. Grace, you know, she wipes a tear from her eye, grabs your arm, Gary Ty, and it's kind of time now to light his upright coffin on fire.
It's not. It's not even like flat. It's not like standing.
I thought you said
up.
It was upright.
Did you say you used petrol before? I'm just bracing myself for what's about to come.
Oh, it's just like it's just
like diesel
light on fire. Whatever.
Diesel doesn't exist in this fantasy world. It's
okay. Oil. True. Okay. Yeah. They don't have the refineries necessary.
No
for diesel.
There's no diesel refineries. No fucking oil. Yeah. It's. There's no oil plants or anything. It's just plain oil.
Let's sizzle this boy, guys.
Every night in my dreams.
But a fantasy version of that song.
Yeah. You, I feel you.
I break into like a rock solo. I strum like some kind of, you know, fantasy electric guitar.
Barrel and electric lute.
Grace, all the times we described something as a modern fantasy guitar.
Yeah, sorry. Fantasy electric guitar. What?
Kind of guitar.
Alrighty, so flames erupt and you do have the smell of cooking skin, but it doesn't smell like chicken, unfortunately. It smells like pork.
Oh.
Well, that's what human flesh smells like. Trust me, I know it. You have a little bit of that whiff. And, you know, it's a sad, somber event. There's not a doctor in town apart from David. David kind of does a little bit of help here and there, only when people are at death's door. Isn't that right?
Oh, in last resort.
Yeah, last resort.
Deserve to be.
Yeah.
And in the background, we hear John Williams conducting the Phantom Menace choir with Qui-Gon's funeral scene.
Don't you mean fantasy that, John
just
Williams?
Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Just imagine that, everyone that's listening, because I'm not going to play that. That's copyrighted. Oh, yeah, that's not your YouTube channel. Sorry.
Stop. Stop.
What happens now is everyone's starting to, you know, go back home, start some fires because it's quite cold. It's the end of autumn and, you know, you can see, steam coming out of your mouth or beak. Your beak. Grace turns to the three of you because it seems like you're the only ones left. David, you're packing up a little bit and Goff's there just yelling at you. He yelling almost nonsensically, being like, David! Pick that up. Do this, David.
That's where David gets us from.
Broken
people break people.
Yeah.
And Goff like walks over with his his cane and just hits you on the back of the leg and he's like, Hurry up.
My God.
I don't like this. David's crying.
Gary's children are just kind of watching and cringing, looking at each other like, what the fuck?
It is just a single tear going down David's eye. Like, no one can tell, but there is a tear.
Grace turns to you and says, I thought maybe that we, because I've got in charge of the inn at the moment, we could have some free drinks because I know, Moto, it's a rough time for you and not having Gail around, she's your friend. And I thought, you know, she wouldn't mind. If she was here, she'd give us some free drinks of some of the good stuff.
I was going to go home, but that sounds lovely. That sounds way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a drink.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, in honor of Shigeru and such.
In honor of Shigeru.
In honor of him.
David, are you coming with us?
Please come.
Yes, I'll come.
I mean, it's that and you're going back to living with Goff right now.
Oh.
And we also
see a little boy and girl.
Come drink away your problems with us.
Are you going to come?
Goth just turns around and gives you daggers, Gary. Dagger eyes.
Have a good one.
Creaks off. And you almost hear his bones cracking as he's walking away.
See, now that home will be mine. D-Day, holding out.
You've been waiting like 10 years for him to die.
David, the trick is to make some shelf above where your father works, fill it with leeches, and then just...
Dad!
I mean, let's go drink.
All right, yeah, no, who says?
All right, so you head down to the edge of town, to the inn. It's warm. You know, the fire's been still going. There's not many people there. I think there's maybe a few patrons and there's just a young girl working at the bar and Grace kind of relieves her and she goes behind the bar and she says, sit wherever you guys want. Don't mind. And then I'll get you a drink and maybe some soup. I made some homemade soup. Gary, I know how much you love my homemade soup.
Love that soup.
It's good. It's good.
Oh, you guys are in for a real treat. It's this soup's great.
Yeah. Moto, I'll get you something different because it's chicken
Everyone
soup.
Everyone sits down and I just kind of angrily stare at Gary. Gary, could you give me a little lift, please? Can you pick me up, please?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Just put me on a chair.
Yeah, I'll give him a boost, yeah.
Thank
Baby boy.
Oh, Grace, what should we do with the little ones? Should they be hang out back or are they fine here?
You can just wheel, what's his name? Gertrude.
Gruntilda, Gertrude.
Gertrude, just wheel him off in the corner. He'll keep himself busy. Aubergine. Yes, Mum. Come with me. You'll help out in the kitchen. Oh, Mum, I don't want to. Well, you're the only one that can move your legs, so you're going to have to help out there. All right. She comes out with three big jugs of ale. She also goes back to the bar and comes back with three what looks like shots. Glasses as
Ooh,
well.
Double nice.
And she says, drink up and I'll have the soup soon. I'll get Aubergine to bring it over. Right.
To Shigeru.
Shigeru.
You guys do the shot.
Oh, yes.
Strong shot of whiskey, that is.
Yeah! Fuck yeah, Dad! That was a beautiful service today, David. You really, it was, you know, I was emotional.
Thanks for not fucking it up, David. I appreciate it.
You know how expansive fantasy John Williams was to get? He was so expensive.
Yeah, that was a real, real nice surprise. He must be pretty booked up these days.
Oh, it was so hard, expensive.
We should have invited him for a drink.
He's busy. Gone
he's
back.
He's busy.
He wasn't available.
He's not available. Yeah, he's on a flight.
Yeah, fantasy flight. He's on a fantasy flight.
Fantasy flight. Wait.
So you guys are drinking, and then Aubergine, that is just a terrible name. She comes out with three bowls of soup on a tray, and she hands Motomoto a vegetable soup.
Mum said not to give you the other soup. Sorry.
And then passes David and Gary.
Is there
no chicken in this?
There's
no chicken
in it. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, little one.
Thanks, Tangerine.
Thanks, Dad. And then she stares at David for a bit, like.
All right, there, little one.
David, I just want to say thank you for saving me that when I was almost dead. And I was just wondering if you could. I really want to learn magic.
Nah, I'm good.
her little face,
fuck on Roy.
Wait till you're a bit older. You're a bit young for magic. Dangerous.
But I thought you went to magic school at 11 years old, and I'm almost still there.
It was more of a military school than magic to begin with.
Yeah, but you're ugly.
She just walks off,
and you can't see her face, but she's a bit slumped. You know?
She's upset because I can't teach her the magic that I do. It's
I'm surprised you're okay with it, Gary.
Okay with what?
Learning magic. If you ever want your daughter or son to learn the thieving ways, send them my way.
Necromancy seems a bit weird with you God there, Gary. Seems a bit off-coloured.
What is necromancy? It's nothing weird, is it?
Oh, no,
not really.
Fine.
It's something to do with cheeses.
I love necromancy. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Maybe she should go with you.
You know what, Gary? No, I don't think so.
I don't think she should.
Time.
Yeah, maybe a little more.
Like a good cheese, it needs time.
She's only little, that young aubergine. No, wait. No, it's aubergine. Gertrude's the wheelie.
Gertrude's staring at me like Brandon Stark in the corner there.
He's got no facial expression whatsoever. It's just staring.
No, I know he looks like he's looking at you. His eyesight isn't that good.
He's playing Raven Simulator.
The wolves got they got him. They weren't as lucky as I was, I guess.
Oh, they took a bit of his frontal lobe.
Yeah, couldn't save that. Only could bring so much back. Could he bring back the legs? He was a wonderful tap dancer before.
I know. Oh, he was so good at tap dancing. Real
strange. As you guys are talking and eating your beautiful soup about Gary's children and their deformities, three travellers open the door. You hear the ring of the bell of the door. And all three of them are very tall. And it's quite dark outside now. And when they come into the light, you see three of the most attractive creatures that you've ever seen in your life.
Oh,
the three graces then, I guess.
There's human. There's a human man. He's all in leathers with brown hair, brown eyes. He has a massive grin with a quite white, sparkling teeth. Cheeky grin as he walks in. And he slumps over to the bar and he's talking to Grace. And then a elf, and you don't really see elves come through. They come through sometimes, but he's tall with blonde, wavy locks. He's in shining armor as well, the most beautiful armor that you've ever seen in your life. And he just has a face with disdain, basically.
Oh.
And he walks in, he sits next to the other man in the leathers. And then lastly, there is a man with midnight skin in black and gold robes holding a staff. It's a black, shiny, ornate staff. And he walks in and sits with them as well. And yeah, you're kind of dumbfounded. You've not seen, like, I mean, you're from a small town and you're quite shabby compared to the glory in which these three gods are both.
There's no gorgeous girl.
They're all men.
Fuck.
Yeah. This day keeps getting worse. So they sit and they, it looks like they're purchasing some ale, and then they go sit on a table two tables across from you.
Are they talking?
Oh, yeah, they're talking amongst themselves, hushed voices. So.
Can I see if I can, like, eavesdrop?
You can, definitely.
Why? Because yeah. Well, I'm interested. They look, yeah. Look, they, you know, they're from out of town, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what most fucking small towns would do.
They'd be like, what are they saying?
Now, they definitely look pretty wealthy, right? They look like they might have some items of interest.
Oh, they definitely look a lot more wealthy than most people.
I know something that might make my day a little better. But yeah, you roll for the eavesdrop.
I think that one's just a perception. Is it perception?
Yeah. Would you believe that I rolled an 18 plus 2 makes 20?
Holy shit. That's a good one. Okay. I'll let you in on what I have here that we're saying. So
talking about your wife, oh no.
And how disfigured that boy is over there. No.
Yeah, look at that fucking monster in the garden.
Beautiful boy, strong boy.
Strong boy.
Beautiful boy, powerful boy.
So the man with the midnight skin, he says,
we can't stay here for long. I don't want to risk it. You don't know how much money it's cost me to get here.
And the guy in the leathers with the brown hair and the brown eyes, No, we'll be fine. There must be a reason why they're doing this. If we get ahead of the game now, and then he gets cut off by the elf. He's like, look, we agreed that we would, there would be treasure. I've done these things many times before. The more likely that we're going to get treasure. You know, we just have to wait this one out. And then lastly, you know, the guy in the ornate robe in the midnight skin, he says,
she doesn't want to get banished, okay? Like, you don't know, like, it cost all of us so much to get here. I just don't want to get banished.
That's all you hear.
I think they're like traveling businessmen or something.
Oh, so you reckon they got a little bit of money? What do you think, guys? Should I maybe have a little look? One of their purses? One of their little...
They're going to show you something?
Hey, David, or? Any chance you could, like, cause some kind of little distraction or something?
Don't worry, I've got this.
Hell yeah.
Hail, travelers!
Are you walking over to them?
Walking over to talk.
That's a distraction.
Here we go.
I'm going with him.
Assuming that we're making friends.
How you boys?
And I kind of flap away and hide in the back of the bar.
The guy in the leathers, he leans back in his chair and he's like,
hello. What's your
Hello,
name?
Stranger. I'm
Hello,
David.
Stranger. Hello, and your name?
Oh, I'm Gary. Oh, I'm a baker for this here town.
A
Kingston.
Baker?
Oh, the finest baker in the whole of Kingston.
I'm sure that you do a very good job at what you do. And David, what do you do?
Oh, you know, gravekeep, bookwright. I'm a man of many trades.
Jesus.
Bookwright. Oh, wow. Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, he has the grin of a man that's not listening to you, really.
And what do you smiling. Do?
Hello. My name's Baron.
The Barry?
Baron.
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 Oh, Baron.
It's Baron. Oh. Yeah.
I just picture Flynn Rider from Tangled. Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. My name's Baron. And here are my companions. Far Harris.
And
Fahariff. And he just leans over. He's like, they must be just old, decrepit. He can't really hear.
Who's the other one?
That's Aemar. He's the elf over there. Say hello, Aemar. Aemar just looks at you and goes,
Disgusting.
An elf in the south. That's a bit odd, isn't it? A little elf here. You
okay. Don't get a lot of can elves. I roll for my
no,
thing now?
It's a, yeah, you can definitely do it. You want to do a slide in hand.
Do I go into sneak
mode? You should sneak towards them. Do a stealth check. So you roll a d20 plus 5.
Okay, 17 plus 5.
Let me just do my roll for who's most likely going to see you. You didn't notice that. None of them actually did. You can do a sleight of hand by sliding your hand into his pocket. Whose pocket do you want to?
I don't think I'm going to try against the good-looking thief because he might out-thief me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I want to try against the elf because I don't know the elf. But I'm going to try against Yo Harris.
Bar Harris? Yes.
But whatever his name is, Bar Harris.
Sure. So do a roll.
Oh, two.
Oh, plus seven. So
two
you
plus
got
seven,
eight.
Nine.
That's a nine.
That's a nine, yeah.
That's a nine. let me just double check. I think you've just fucked it right now.
Yeah. So none of them saw me until I accidentally fingered Yaharis's butthole.
You walk over and you've snuck up. Like, you're quite short and little. Like, they didn't really notice you. I don't think they even noticed you when they first came in. And normally you're quite noticeable. You were a chicken man. And
I'll have like Napoleon syndrome through the whole series. It's going to be great. Yeah.
You slide your hand into one of the deep pockets of the robes that he's wearing, the ornate gold trim. You're rifling around in it, and then you feel his hand grab onto your hand. You've got more of
some feathers.
Feathers, yeah. It's like a feather mitt kind of thing. And he looks over at you, and he has quite a deep voice, and he says,
"Hi there.
You're a chicken."
Yes, yes, I am.
And you'll try to steal from me.
No, just saying hey. Just, hey.
I mean, are you trying to steal with me or are you trying to sleep with me? I can't tell the difference.
No, I just was saying hey, just tapping you on the butt, to say hey.
Your hand's in my pocket.
That was an accident. I've had a bit to drink. Please excuse me.
He says, maybe they can help. And he looks at Baron. And Baron smiles and he says, maybe.
Right, Baron.
And he lets go of your hand and he says,
we'd love to help.
How?
Baron smiles and looks at you. And, yeah, we do need a little bit of help. Now, I'll let you guys into a secret. Come close, all right?
I love secrets.
Yes, this is a good secrets. One.
Do we trust him, Gary and David?
Oh,
listening. Yeah.
I don't trust anyone, but let's hear this.
let's listen in.
Well, I trust everyone, and I'm keen to hear it.
All right, come closer. Now, me and my friends here, we think there's some treasure coming soon. We think it's probably going to come up in like a cave system or a fort. And we think it's going to come soon or around this time. Do you know of any cave systems an old fort or ruins or something around here that we could go look for it?
A graveyard?
No, not a graveyard.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is there like a tomb under the graveyard? You guys, from your knowledge, I want you guys all to do a nature check.
Nature?
Nature, to know about the surrounding area and if you know if there's any caves or
I got
anything
19.
Special. Fucking hell. Anyone else? What else ever ask you?
Actually, sorry, I got 20.
Oh.
11. 10 plus 1, 11.
16.
11.
16.
I think David and Gary, you both know of a cave system in the mountain, not far from town. It's definitely out of town. It's like a 20-minute walk. But there's a cave system that's there. You've been to it before, I think, maybe playing as kids. Quite a deep cave system. And so you do know of it.
I don't know if there's a cave or not. My bad. Sorry, guys.
There's absolutely
no,
cave.
You just moved
really?
Here.
Do you know what? If you guys would like to show us where to go, I reckon Lee would let you have a little bit of the treasure.
How much?
A little bit, you know?
No, numbers.
Don't know how much is going to be. There.
Faris?
You're not talking, it's Baron. You're still talking to me.
Baron?
Yeah.
Just Baron, I want numbers. Give me something. Promise at least a little.
What about like a down payment instead? Then you can have all the treasure that's there.
If I could give you a down payment, but I'm
poor. Look at me. I have no money to give.
Your friends don't look poor.
Don't let their appearance fool you. That's all for facade. You know, it's all trash what they're wearing. How about we go together?
I just think that we should be looking after the people that come through our town and be friendly neighborhood friends.
Fuck.
And we should show them a way and maybe get them like a nice cold milk to drink and just and help them out.
All right. Good.
And if you feel like giving us something after that, I feel like maybe that would be much
Gary
appreciated.
Gary doesn't talk about the money side. Don't listen to him. We want something.
Ignore him. Down payment now.
Not down payment.
How about I buy you a drink and then we can
head
off.
How could you buy the drinks, poor man?
You have me there. Let's
just go to the cave and we'll sort it
out. Hang on. About this free drink.
How about what I do is I'll ask that beautiful barmaid over there, you know, the big voluptuous on that big thick one.
Oh, the big
you
one.
Know the one. Is it she something?
Yeah, no, go on.
I'll ask her to see if she can put some whiskey in this flask and we can take it on the road, huh?
I'm sure, I mean, that's my wife, so I'm sure that one.
Oh, no. Right. He walks off, and then you guys are now in awkward silence with Paris and Amia.
Hey, elf dude. What's your story? Where are you from?
You want to roll?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Roll a charisma.
Do a persuasion check, I would say.
12 plus 3, 15.
15. He looks at you and he's never seen anything quite like you before.
Yeah, I've never seen quite like me before either.
Well, my name is Amia. I am high elf from far from here.
Bruh, high elf.
Yes. I am a prince and
have been cast aside from my family there.
Left alone to travel with these three trash.
Oh.
And there's
all right,
nothing.
They
seem a bit judgy.
They seem all right.
Yeah. I mean, they're trash and you're peasants.
I see. How'd you get cast out? Do you pour leeches on your dad or something?
What?
Nothing.
Thing. Don't worry about it.
Is peasants a good thing? I'm like just like whispering to Moto.
Oh, good. That's very kind of you to say that, actually.
And you're a baker. Okay.
Yeah, I make the finest bread in the whole of Kingsford.
And Baron comes, you know, bounding back. He's got his flask full. He's like, we're ready to go. Let's go. We need to get going. We don't have much time. I don't want to be here for too much longer.
You got that whiskey flask, Baron?
I do. Just as long as we get out and get going, once we're on the outskirts of town, I'll give you a big old sip, chicken boy.
Well, I kind of have a rule now since all the wolves. I don't really like to leave town without my hammer.
Yeah, of course. Quickly go grab anything that you need to grab, and then we'll go.
You
never know.
Minutes.
We'll definitely protect you. We have you. If there is anything that happens, we'll protect you.
Well, since the incident with the little ones, and like you know, now he can't tap dance anymore. I would like to just swing past home if that's okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right. So, we'll go with you. We'll walk past and come with you. So, you all travel to Gary's house. Diligent as always.
I'm going to pick up my hammer, my war hammer, and I might put my armor on as well.
Yeah. That's good.
Got my shield.
That's good. Does anyone else want to grab any weapons before we go?
I've got what I need on me.
We probably all should, shouldn't we? But, I mean, I don't know. I don't really care. I just want that whiskey.
I've
got
right.
my book.
No, I'm good. I'll take spears as well.
All right.
Jesus.
Look, he's had a bad time one time.
So you head out of the town and Baron.
Oh, I'll say goodbye to Grace as well.
Oh, yeah. I reckon you would have just let her know.
All right. Look after yourself, Gary. I love you.
And she's smiling. Mwah.
You don't see Aubergine. She's out in the kitchen. Gertrude kind of nods to you in a Bran acting style. And so you head out of the town, and Gary, you're leading them because David just acted like he didn't know where the caves were, but he knows exactly where the caves are.
All right.
Baron passes the whiskey over to Moto. He's just cradling it.
in your hands.
Hell yeah.
The Baron and Paharis and Amia, they're all walking quite fast. They seem to be in a hurry. They're trying to be like, come on, Gary, let's go as quickly as we possibly can. All right.
Oh, what's the rush?
We just want to find that treasure, you know, and get out.
It's a lovely city.
It's a town, sure. I've seen much better, says Baron, with half of like laughing a bit, looking back at the town. You know, the lights of the town is starting to dwindle as you go further up into the mountain towards where the caves are. They walk up and I think you get to the mouth of the cave. It's about a 20-minute walk. It's just a normal kind of cave system. You know, kids play in it sometimes. It's kind of further out. I don't think there've been that many kids playing in it recently because of the wolf attack that happened a couple years ago. Because obviously those wolves didn't really die and they left. I think you took a few out with you, but mind you, there hasn't been any more attacks since then. They go in and they say, "Come on!" Like they're more than happy to go in first before you. Baron lights a lamp up, like a light up, and walks deeper and deeper into the cave, looking in. Do you mind if you guys help me look around, please? That'd be so nice.
Wait. We got you guys here.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? We're looking for treasure.
You know the drill. You look for, you know, a lever or like a button or just something out of the ordinary, you know?
Okay. Can I just quickly talk to David? Hey, David. I lower my voice and I whisper, do you trust these guys? What's happening?
No, but let's go through with it.
All right.
Maybe we'll get a book out of it. I'd like me a book.
Yeah, I'd like me some treasure.
I'd like to, like, step up to this cave. Is it dark inside?
Would you have a torch on you? Because Baron's the only one with a torch walking around.
No, but I do have a spell that may solve this.
Cast light on my hammer. So it emits, like, a 20 by 20 foot radius of dim light.
A warm, like, yellow light fills the cave. You just see that the cave goes further in. You've been here before. I think you guys would have walked maybe...
Oh, this is the place where I found those leeches. I mean...
Oh, no. you can do some perception check. Ground, you can do some investigation checks if you're looking at walls trying to find buttons, if you'd like, as well.
I got a 10 in perception, so I ain't seen shit.
Yeah, so you can choose to do those.
I'll listen and look in to make sure, mainly looking for shiny things and danger.
Yeah.
I rolled a 2, which makes 4 in total, which isn't great.
12 and 1, 13 perception.
Okay, cool. So you're looking around, and they're looking around feverishly as well, and Paharis stops looking and he says,
there's no use.
There's no use.
It's no use.
Here. There's nothing here. And Baron looks over to him and says, yeah, I don't think there's any treasure. And you guys are a good, like, 10 minutes into this cave system. It's all dark outside of the light that's emitting from you. And you guys are, yeah, I don't think... I mean, we've got about 10 minutes more, and I think we're further enough out that we won't get banished. But once that ticks over...
What?
What are we
looking for here exactly?
Treasure. We're looking for treasure.
Well,
anyway.
What sort of treasure?
You're using a shotgun term. You're not being descriptive.
He just looks at you guys and goes, huh?
Maybe we should just do something to entertain ourselves. That chicken doesn't seem normal, does it?
Yo, hey. You don't seem normal, fuckface.
Do you think he probably has something on him and then he draws
what?
A dagger?
What?
Do you reckon we should have some fun? I reckon that one has treasure and that guy has magic over there.
If they come for Moto, I'm going to fucking belt one as hard as I can.
Time for you guys to do your initiative.
Yes.
Time for rolling for me. I finally get to roll.
Oh, I got 18.
Oh, Jesus.
11? 10 minus 1. 9.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe what just happened.
They all rolled ones.
They Please. They all actually no one rolled a 3.
They all tripped on rocks and split their heads open and we're all just like, well,
because they were kind of laughing and I don't think you guys are at all any type of, you know, foe. The way that you've been treating you is almost babying, basically. David, you see them eyeing off Moto and looking at you guys.
I don't like this guy's
play a game.
It's your turn. It's David. Oh, God. Oh, I'm so excited.
what do I want to start off with? Is it a blindness or deafness or an afflict wound? Which one's closest to me?
Let's say Paharis is closest to you.
Yeah, I want a blind / deafness him.
1 second. Mind you, my rolls have been not good. A fucking fuck. Fuck. Yeah, it works. So...
blindness.
Yeah, so all of a sudden his eyes go pale. Fuck you, pussy. And he starts, like, kind of flailing around trying to, like, grab at you, and he's in shock. You can see his face, like, is that all? Do you want to move around? So basically you're in quite a small cave. If you can run back, you can't run forward further into the cave. You guys are at the back of the cave, so you could actually run out of the cave, but they're sitting in there. It's now Moto Moto's turn.
Okay, I'm going to use chicken agility. After seeing David jump in there and attack, I get a little bit of courage, especially after drinking that whiskey. So I'm going to use my agility and attack the guy who's blind. Yeah, my dagger.
Roll a dexterity attack +5. So dex +5.
11.
Is it advantage because they're blind?
Yeah, it is advantage. Roll again. Tell me what that was.
8 + 5. 13.
You do actually hit him, though. Oh,
yeah. I want to peck him in the pecker. I want to peck his dick. That's like, you know, a little... that's like a short jump for me anyway.
He is only wearing robes, so he's not... doesn't have any armor. He doesn't really move out of the way because he's blind.
Oh, no.
I don't think you hit his groin, though. You know, he's kind of flailing around. If you had a roll, you definitely would. You kind of stab into his lower leg and roll a d4 +3.
2 + 3 is 5.
Yeah, you hit him for 5 points.
You get sneak attack because you have advantage on that. You roll a d6 on top. I think it's 2d6, actually.
Well, I just rolled 4 twice, so...
13 damage. You've stabbed his leg, you pull out, and then you hit him in the stomach as well. He hunches over and he's just, like, you know, screaming, and he screams over to the other two, and he's like, I didn't think they'd be this strong. What the hell are these?
And I'm just going, "Ree!" in my chicken language.
You don't know your chicken language. You're fucking adopted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I know, Ree. That's can't be the only word I know.
Are you going to end your turn? Are you going to move anywhere? Or are you just happy to stay there while he's bleeding?
No, I'm happy to stay there. Let's see what Gary does.
It is Gary's turn.
When they say, who are these people? I go, we are friends. I charge ahead. Into like the, like, I'm going to run past the guy who's blind, and can I get, like, can I actually, like, find, like, a 10-foot radius where I just hit the enemies and not...
You can, because you can get behind them further into the cave.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. I'm going to cast Thunderwave at second level.
Yep. All right.
So they need to make a constitution saving throw.
10?
That doesn't make it. Well, they need to make 12.
One of them. Brandon. Baron. I don't know why I called him Brandon. So what does the attack look like? I assume he just jumps up.
So I just, like, charge barrel through them and then just, like, basically just, like, lightning erupts from my body.
Oh, cool.
Extra loud. And it...
I just want you to be yelling friends while you do that.
Friends! and I deal for the ones that failed.
Yeah, so...
I deal 15 damage because it's 3d8.
15?
And I rolled it... Yeah, I rolled a 4, 8, and a 3.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And then they get pushed back 10 feet away from me.
What happens is you, Baron jumps out of the way. He, like, sees
he,
you.
He takes half damage, though.
Okay, so 7.
So Gary's like the big monster from the Goonies.
Iceman.
As you run through, lightning coming off your body, I think this is probably some of the first time that David and Moto Moto have seen you use some of your real powers, because, you know, you haven't really had a chance. And you barrel over Saharis, and he is dead. His body just falls limp as you bump, like, crash into him. He was blinded, and he was blinded, stabbed, couldn't see anything, can't hear
anything, yeah.
And completely pushed over, and lightning hitting him, shocking his whole body. He had a bad day, and you hit Aemer, the noble prince, and he is being pushed back into close to Moto Moto, maybe just a bit behind him, and he's, like, heaved over a bit, and he doesn't look like he's in a good way. And Baron's just jumped out of the way. So it is now Baron's turn. So he has a bit of a grimace on his face and he looks over at you guys. Why would you look like this, though? Who would ever pick... I didn't even think you could fight. Whatever. Fuck you. Fuck you guys. He looks really confused. Like, he looks so confused. Goes in and he is going to try and stab Gary. He tries to hit you. He has a rapier stab at you, but he just hits. He just grazes your armor. And he's like, I shouldn't have let you put that shit on. He will try and... Gonna try and run away.
Wow.
And he says...
I'd like to make an opportunity attack if he's...
Yeah, you can do it. What do you want to do? Punch him in the stomach?
No, use the wire man just try and like clobber him.
You know? So you can try and hit him. He
16 plus 5, 21.
Yeah, you hit him.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And then that's 1d8 plus 3, 4 plus 3, 7. 7 damage.
Whew. You hit him in the stomach and he falls backwards. He falls over.
yeah.
And he's like,
got him.
Looking at you guys and go, Amy, are you still alive? Amy's like, yes. Are you getting that warning too? And Amy says, I am.
What? I think that these guys are very well. I think they're like maybe a little off or something.
He's like, well, it's not my fault. You will get banished as well.
Me?
Manish.
And then something weird happens in front of you. You see them just pause.
Make
their
out.
Faces just pause. They're not breathing anymore. They've just paused mid-fay, like facial expression.
Simulation.
It has a, you know, how someone dies, the face will like slouch. But it's not like that. And then their skin starts to crack with purple light. The purple light turns to purple glowing dust. It starts to float upwards, and from behind you, from the cave like entrance behind you, a massive purple light shines, just it's glowing. The whole, for a split second, the whole cave system's lit up purple, and then the light from Baron's torch is gone. The torch itself is gone. Baron's gone. The body of Faharis is gone. Amy is gone, and it's just quiet.
Okay. All right.
Their clothing?
Yeah, their clothing. That torch is gone.
I should have stolen from them.
Can I, like, run outside to see if I can see the glowing light?
You 100% can. So you run out of the cave. It takes a bit of time, you know, climbing up and
I'd like to think that I'm, like, galumphing around, like...
yeah.
Like, when I run, it's, like, a big ordeal.
Yeah, it is. It is. And especially because you're in armor, it's quite loud and it's like almost like a gallop, you know?
Are you guys I'm just shocked. Well? Yeah, but I'm really cautious and slow and shocked.
Just stay back for a second. And would I know, because I'm a well-read man, so would I know about anything that would, like, would a similar happening?
Well, just what kind of check did you want? What you could like, do a history check?
History or arcana, since it seems like magic.
You could do an arcana check. Roll an arcana check.
13. No, wait, 12.
It isn't any magic that you've seen before.
Oh, that scares me.
So as Gary, you're running out, the cave system's further up the mountain, so you have a good view of the lake and a partial view of the town. The town, you don't normally see it because there's, you know, a bit of the mountain is jutting out, a bit of a cliff face, but you see, not as bright anymore, but it seems like where the town is, there's a glowing purplish light.
Over the town.
Yeah, where the town is.
Oh, I think there's like, the light that like...
Like you can't see the town, you can only see the light. Like it's, obviously because it's nighttime.
I think we should...
Burns into your retina, that one.
We should probably like go back to town and right now.
And I'm having like a seizure like the guy at the end of Space Odyssey. I'm just like frothing at
freaking
the mouth.
Out.
Like, and... And maybe Gary or David pick me up and carry me or something.
Yeah. Gary is running. David is more like a creeping run than anything.
No, it's like have you seen lemurs run? How they run with their arm? He's like that.
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah. So you run down. You spend about half the time that you did going up there, coming down. Because you're going downhill and also you're running full pelt. As you reach the town, there is just a crater. The light of the purple light's gone down, but there's only cracks of purple light in this crater where the town was.
Where did we take a wrong turn? Sometimes we do that.
It's next to the lake. You can't.
But where is everyone?
Look, guys, let's look at the positives right now. Goth is gone. Let's just look at the positives.
But what about Grace? What about Aubergine? What about
the other one?
The last one.
We can't always be negative. We should look at the positives. That's my funeral home. Oh no, it's gone.
You guys can have a look around.
I'm still shocked.
Yeah, just in Gary's arm.
Look around.
Yeah.
Is there any light nearby? Like,
there is a light nearby. It's the witch's cottage on the other side of the lake.
Oh, she probably did it that.
Let's go run to the witch. Bastard. She better not have fucking exploded our town, I swear to God.
Should we talk? She might at least know what's going on, though.
Oh, you always go to the other magic person when you need magic help, even though I'm here.
Well, David, do you know what happened?
Do you have some kind of assessment? Do you have anything to contribute, David? Please.
My books are gone. How am I going to know? They're all up there now. Oh, my books, they're gone!
First thing, Goth's gone. Yes, my books. No!
No, I had all this gold at my dad's house. What was the point of killing my dad? I don't get any inheritance now.
My bakery and the little ones.
Tap dancing.
As you guys are just staring at
Gary's openly crying.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm so sorry. You can hear something behind you. Like shuffling. It's the witch, and she's hunched over. She's not looking great. And this witch you guys have known her since you were growing up. She's just a bit of an unsavory woman, but she'll do favors or tell futures and look after a few people in the town in exchange for whiskey. whiskey or foot rub, basically. She likes those, or getting her toes done. And she falls over before she can get to you guys, and her arms reaching out, shaking.
I flap off Gary's shoulder and sort of glide over to her and go, Barkok, what happened? What did you do?
She grabs it, your soft feathers, boy feathers. She goes,
not dead, just somewhere else.
Did you fucking teleport our town to another dimension, bitch?
No,
I swear
no.
to God.
And she grabs her shaking hand and puts it deep into her pocket. She pulls out a letter. She opens up the letter, still shaking, and puts a gauze and then seals it. She shakingly gives it to you, laughs a little bit.
Is she in here?
Yeah, she's something's wrong with her. She's hunched over, and she gives it to Motomoto, and she says,
give this to the Grand Wizard.
Your spit.
I'm right over here, don't worry. Grand Wizard David.
The wizards, they might know more.
Get Gary.
Gary.
Yeah. Can I heal her? Can I use cure wounds on her?
Yeah, David, do you want to?
Definitely, you can definitely do that.
Put my hand on her shoulder and like see if I can heal her up.
So basically what happens, you put your hand on her and you attempt to heal her, so light comes from your hand, but something feels wrong when you're trying to heal her. Something feels like she's not tied properly. Like there's you haven't had these powers for that long. Like you don't really understand what you're feeling at this point, but feels like you could partly heal her. But so that's kind of all you could do, and she grabs at your armor and tries to pull you closer, but she's very weak. She tries to get you close to.
Yeah, I'll get close.
And she looks at you and she says,
yeah, sure.
Don't blame yourself for what you leave behind the gate. I had a good life. This is my last gift. I'll give you
gold.
Help you find the way.
Okay.
You just have to be open to it.
And she's shaking and shivering, and she looks right in your eyes. And she opens her mouth and she goes, duh, duh. And then you hear a thunderous crash behind you as the mountains starts to give out due to the lack of the town, the crater that's there. And you hear, I want you guys to do dexterity checks. You need to jump out of the way right now.
14 plus 3, so 17.
17.
All right. You just get out of the way, Motomoto. You see those boulders crashing down from the mountain and you get a scrape on the back of your legs, but it's nothing. Do you see Gary try and... Are you trying to pick up the witch, keep her in your arms and run?
Yeah,
I assume that's why... Yeah, I would say that's why you're kind of like not as fast or not getting out of the way properly. David, just because... You're not an active man. All that smoking.
he coughs as he's trying to run.
You are going to roll some damage and get... I reckon I'm going to roll...
D6 and pick one of you as odd or even who's going to be stuck under some boulders.
That's David. And you guys are going to get 10 damage.
That's rough.
Ouch. Yeah.
So David's now... You are stuck under some rubble. Like, from your chest up, and you're going to have to get some help. Yeah, you can do some strength checks to try and get out of that. But, Gary, you just get out of the way. You kind of, like, you protect the wit. Rocks bounce off you as you're protecting her.
Are we clear? Like, if it's clear, can I, like, try and help David?
Yeah, sure. So you kind of let go of the witch, and by this stage you can see that the life's gone out of her.
Fuck.
And you go and help David. So you got to do some strength checks, please.
Yeah, can I just sort of try and push a boulder? Like,
oh, for him, yeah, yeah. David, what's happening in your brain right now?
Ah! that's really happening with Dave. Yeah. The Dave Meister.
I rolled a 19.
Yeah, I thought, you basically do all the work. Motomoto is just still sitting there.
Flapping. Just caring about myself as usual.
Yeah, yeah. And you lift it up and you help David up.
Check your body. You should check her body to see if she's got anything good.
You touch her body and... Her body starts to kind of like go into smoke, and this smoke wraps around your foot. And then it twirls off and wraps around Gary's hand. And then it twirls around and wraps around David's hand, like around his wrist.
Guys,
and
it's become solid. And there's these silver bracelets and an anklet for you, Motomoto.
Oh, hell yeah.
Flappy hands.
Little anklet.
What does the bracelet say? It's engraved.
It's engraved.
It's engraved with a kraken, a crown, and violets, just like the town.